I want to speak about Aaron and his sons. We've been talking about and talked about their dress. And last Sunday night we dealt with his golden plate, gold plate that was on his headdress, holiness to the Lord and bearing all our iniquity of our holy things. And I've thought about that so much, that he bears the iniquities of even our worship, our prayers, our singing, our preaching. Yeah, he bears them, and I'm so thankful he does. But look here, and I'm going to read the first six verses here. And the Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses. Now, when it talks about the Lord speaking unto Moses, God's spoken by his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments with the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them. And he washed them. Let's pray. Our Father, oh Father, 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 Abba Father, our Father. Lord, we are so blessed and so thankful. So blessed and so thankful. Thank you for your grace. Oh, that's so precious to us, still amazing to us, so wondrous to us. And Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we wouldn't know anything about you. Wouldn't even know you existed. Wouldn't know anything about ourselves or God or Christ had you not gave us your word and opened it to us, made us to understand it, brought us to your blessed Son. And Father, in our heart of hearts, Lord, we love you for that and adore you for that and thank you for that. Can't bless you enough, can't praise you enough, can't thank you enough. And Lord Jesus, we pray for our brothers and sisters, for our brethren that are preaching. And Lord, we pray again for our nation. Have mercy on us as a nation. And oh God, deliver us in your time, in your way, to your glory, till we can all gather to worship again. Meet with us tonight. Enable me to speak. And do it for your glory and the good of your blessed people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Talking about Aaron and his sons. And as we look at Aaron and his sons, they've been separated to themselves, to the priesthood. And we have here a picture of all believers being one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Aaron and his sons and what was done for them and what Moses did is a picture of us being one, our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron was the first high priest, in Israel. Christ is our great high priest that's passed into the heavens. He's our great high priest. And I'll tell you what, beloved, and Aaron had to enter in with a sacrifice for himself. Christ entered into heaven without having a sacrifice for himself. He entered in there with his own blood, and he bought our redemption, paid for our redemption in the presence of God. And I'll tell you, here's the first thing I want you to notice about there in verse 2. Take Aaron and his sons with him. Here's the thing I want you to know. They were called, his sons were called with him. His sons. You know, Aaron was the high priest, but God called his sons to be with him. And ain't that the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ? Christ, our great high priest. Christ our Savior, Christ our Lord, Christ our Master, Christ our Redeemer. And we were called by Him, called because of Him, called as Aaron was, his sons was called with Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, we were called to Him and called to be one with Him. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And over in Ephesians 2, I've showed you this so many times, where it says we were together with Christ. When Christ was crucified, we was crucified with Him. When He was risen, we was raised together with Him. When He ascended, we ascended with Him. When He sat down, we sat down with Him. Together, together, together. God said He's going to gather everything in heaven and in earth in one in Christ Jesus. So as Aaron's sons were called with Him, so we were called with our Lord Jesus Christ. When God called Him to be our mediator, He called us. When God called Him to be our Savior, He called us. When God set Him apart, He set us apart. And I'll tell you something, Aaron's sons were always viewed in Him and with Him. That's the thing about it. Aaron's sons were in Him before they ever were in the priesthood. And we were in Christ. Huh? We were in Christ and viewed with Him. You know, this is one of the most blessed things to think about, that as Aaron's sons were in His loins, we were in the loins of Christ. We were His seed. We were His sons. We were always viewed in Him. There never has been a time, and this is, we didn't know this until God taught us this in the gospel. Never was a time that God did not view His people in His Son even before the foundation of the world. Never was a time that He viewed His people apart from His Son. And that's, if He ever views you apart from His Son, you're in trouble. And I'm thankful that God now, as He views us with His Son. Huh? We're viewed in Him, viewed with Him, and we were in Him. And the sons of Aaron were called to the priesthood. To the priesthood. I want you to leave Leviticus 8 there and go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see something. 1 Peter chapter. Second Peter, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, well. Oh, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2. All right. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2. Look what I'm talking about. Viewed with Him, and they were called to the priesthood with Him. Look what it says here now. In verse 5. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Did you see that? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Jesus Christ. And it also tells us over here that we did verse 9. Look down verse 9. Look what it says here. But you are a chosen generation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So as our Lord Jesus Christ was in the priesthood and had Israel, they were set apart. God set us apart, all of us, to be a holy priesthood. And not only that, but His elect are called apart to be a holy nation. And when we get to glory, there's going to be one people, one nation, and God says we're holy priesthood. You know, if you didn't read it in the Word yourself, it'd be hard to grasp. Be hard to grasp. And then let me tell you something else about this, Aaron and his sons. They were related by birth. You know how they become related? By birth. They were his sons. They were his sons. And what does the Scripture call us? Sons. Sons of God. And we were related to the Lord Jesus Christ by birth. By a new birth. Christ was the firstborn among many brethren. What does that mean? The firstborn has all the rights. The firstborn inherits everything. The firstborn is the one that the Father says, everything goes to my firstborn. When they went down to get a bride for Isaac, he said, my master has given all things into my master's hands, his son's hands. Everything that his father has is his. And that's the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn among how many? Brethren. And that's how we become inheritors with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're sons of God by birth. I dealt with that so much this morning, I couldn't get away from that being born of God. We're sons of God by birth. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God, can't enter it. But our Lord Jesus Christ says, we're born from above, by the Spirit and by the water. And I tell you what, we're sons of God by birth. And John said this in John 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Huh? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But I tell you something we do know. We know that when He appears, we shall see Him as He is. And you know what? We're going to be just like Him. When you've seen Aaron's sons, I guarantee you, they look like your daddy. And I tell you something else. Well, I'll get to that later. But anyway, we're sons of God, children of God. And oh, he told his disciples one day, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give unto you? And I tell you, you know what He gave us? He gave us His Son. Gave us His Son. And that's why we're called beloved of God. Called and beloved of God. Oh, beloved of God. How many times do you find in the Scripture? Romans 1 says, 1:1, we're beloved of God. Over in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, 2 Thessalonians 2, brethren, beloved of God. Oh, to be beloved of God. Father loves His children. And I tell you what, a mother loves her children. And I tell you, when a baby is first born, Rachel and Cody just had their baby. Beautiful child. And they want everybody to see it. They say they cannot understand, they didn't grasp what it would mean to have that baby. They do now. But I'm telling you what, it's as the mothers and fathers love their children. And if that's right, and that's true, how much more then does God love us? Oh, beloved of God. We're made partakers of His nature. Divine nature. And was your son come to you and ask for something? If it's not without reason, it's just way out of reason, you'd give them what they ask you. You say, I love you. And I won't take care of you. I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to see you go hungry. I don't want to see you go naked. I don't want to see you walking. I want you to have a good home. And listen, if we do that for our children, how much more does our Father do for us? Huh? I don't want you to do without anything. Well, we don't. Not with God. Not in Christ. We got 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands that we can't even begin to comprehend what we have in our blessed Savior. Huh? And so they were related by birth. And then you know what? They had the same kind of dress. They dressed the same. Look down verse 13. And Moses brought Aaron's sons, all the sons now. Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them, and girded them with girdles, and put bonnets on them, as the Lord commanded. Oh my. All the sons had the identical dress. They dressed the same. Oh, you know, I'm going to show you two things in the scriptures. Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, and then Jeremiah 33:16. Get those two so we can read them together. You got to get these together. If you know, this is going to be it's such a blessing. Jeremiah 23:6, Jeremiah 33 and verse 16. Now I want you to see these two things. Look what it says here in verse 6. Talking about dressing identical. Dressing in the same dress. Here he says in verse 6. In his days, in Christ's days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, thy Lord Jesus Christ, where he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Huh? Oh my. The Lord our righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in Christ. The same righteousness Christ has is our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. We sung that tonight. He is all my righteousness. I stand in Him complete. Now look in verse 16 of chapter 33. And notice the difference in the wording. In those days, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name, listen to this now, whereby she shall be called. Who's she? His church. The Lord our righteousness. What he calls himself, he turns around and says, she is. His church is. His people are. Oh, bless his holy name. I tell you, we is lost. We didn't do anything to become a sinner. We did not do anything to become a sinner. And we don't do anything to become righteous. Ain't that right? Huh? Christ did it all. In 1 John 4:17, you've seen this, and we're saved by not anything we do. We're lost by what another man did, then we're saved by what another man did. In 1 John 4:17, I remember Scott Richardson preaching on this, and after that, everybody and their brother preached on it. It says, you know, as he is now, so are we in this world. Now, how is our Lord Jesus Christ right now? How is he right now? Whatever he is right now, so are we. In this world. Well, we know one thing. He's not in the flesh. And the scripture says we're no longer in the flesh but in the spirit. He don't have sin. He bore it once and now he sits at the right hand of God. He sits there holy, he sits there righteous, he sits there with all power, he sits there with all glory, he sits there with all the righteousness. He's not in this world, he's in another world. He's sitting on a throne, and what he is right now, in the presence of God, and as he stands right now, that's what the scripture says we are in this world. Right now. And so I tell you what, they were identical in dress. Ain't this a wonderful thing that every one of us sitting here tonight all dressed the same as far as God's concerned? Huh? We're all dressed the same as far as God's concerned. He looks at you, he don't see the clothes you got on. He don't see your hair. He don't see your jewelry, he don't see your smell, he don't see your glasses. You know what he sees? He sees his son. He sees us in his son. And let me show you something else that they did down here in verse 30. Go back over in Leviticus. Talk about Aaron and his sons in our relationship with Christ, one with Christ. In verse 30 it says this, "And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which is upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments, and his sons' garments with him." Now that oil is what sanctified them. That oil set them apart. It was the anointing. And the anointing is that when you talk about the oil in the Old Testament, it's talking about that in the New Testament, the oil is the Lord Jesus, is the Holy Ghost coming down. The Holy Ghost anoints us and baptized, you know, and he baptized them, anointed them with that oil. And over in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says this, "We're all baptized by one Spirit into Christ." Huh? Baptized into Christ by one Spirit. And God, he anointed us and set us apart by the Holy Spirit of God. He set us apart and he made... There's sanctification is not something that we do and get better at. Sanctification is done once and for all. Once and for all. God set us apart in Christ, anointed us with the Holy Spirit, set us apart and put us into Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so they had the same anointing. And then look what it said here in verse 6. In verse 6. "And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them." He washed them. I want you to notice the first thing it says there. They didn't wash themselves. They didn't wash themselves. No. Moses washed them. Why did he wash them? Because it's dirty. It's dirty. And that's what David said, "Wash me. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me, O Lord. Wash me thoroughly." And I tell you what, God said in Ephesians 5, he says this, he says, you know, he cleansed us with the washing of water by the Word. He said, "Father, sanctify them with what? Thy truth." And I tell you what, we didn't wash ourselves. God washes us. And I remember one of the young men coming into service one night, and he come in on a Wednesday night, and he said, "Oh my." He said, "I've been out working, been in this old world," and he said, "I feel so filthy, I feel so unclean, having to deal with this world and have to go out and work." And I tell you what, and that's why we come here, to be washed by the water of the Word. And we'll come in here in that water of that Word. It'll cleanse our mind. It'll cleanse our hearts. It'll cleanse our thoughts. It'll cleanse, and it'll give us the strength to go back out into the world and deal with it. But it washes us. That's why David said, "Wash me." This was after he sinned with Bathsheba. This is after he killed Uriah. He said, "Now, Lord, wash me. You wash me. I can't wash myself. You wash me. All I can do is get dirty. All I can do is get nasty. All I can do is make a mess. But oh Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And oh God, wash us. Wash us. Wash us. But I tell you something, before they was washed, you know what they had to do? They had to stand there naked. They didn't have no clothes on. Huh? And that's what, before there's ever a washing, before you're ever cleansed by the blood or anything else, you're going to be stripped. Huh? You're going to be stripped. You're going to be stripped. We're going to be stripped. We're going to stand naked before God. We're going to be stripped of self-righteousness. We're going to be stripped of our pride. We're going to be stripped of our self, all the things that we thought good about ourselves and the things we thought that we'd done to make ourselves acceptable to God. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and said, "This same Jesus who you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ." And you know what those men said? "Oh, men and brethren, what shall we do?" What do you think they're doing? They sitting there, they had all their clothes on, but they still felt their helplessness, their nakedness, their inability before God. And I know this, beloved, He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And they didn't wash themselves. And I tell you, we can't wash ourselves. But before there's any washing, going to have to be stripped. Going to have to be stripped. And those fellows had to stand there. And Moses washed them. And we have to stand there. Be still. And know that I'm God. Be still. Don't say another word. Just stand there. And I see you in your nakedness. He saw that infant. He said, I saw him. That infant cast out in his blood. Cast out polluted. And God Himself said, and I covered him. I washed him. And I washed him thoroughly. I cleansed him. And I tell you one thing. I don't know how you feel about it, but I know this, that God stripped me of my religion. That's the hardest thing that had come off of me, was my religion. I was a fundamental legalist, self-righteous, know-it-all Pharisee of the worst kind. If you didn't dress right, I'd get on you. If you didn't walk right, I'd get on you. If you went to places you ought not go, I'd get on you. Oh, self-righteous. And God, oh, when He stripped me of that, when He took that religion off of me and took that religion from me, I laid like a, you talk about a dead dog, a sorry dead dog, an awful dead dog, a stinking dead dog, a corrupt dead dog. I lay before God and I thought I'd never have enough strength to get back up again. Oh, He just emptied me of every hope that I ever had. And when He got through with me, there's only one thing I wanted, only one thing I needed to know. God, would You have mercy on me? And if I ever, ever get to use Your name again, if I ever get to say anything about You again, God helping me, I'll never say anything but what's right about You. And that's the hardest thing that God saves us from, is our religion. Now, I'll tell you what, and even if you didn't have religion, He had to strip you anyway. And oh, listen, let me show you something else that happened here in verse 13. Verse 13. It says this, and Moses brought Aaron and his sons and put coats on them and girded them with girdles. You know, he clothed them. You know, said Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats on them. He didn't say you put it on yourself. He put the coats on them. This clothing was done for them. This clothing was done for them. They didn't clothe themselves. Oh, friend of ours, and Steve brought it to my attention, remembered here a few months ago, he said, there's some folks we knew, they used to sing a song, I took off the old clothes and I put on the new. But let me show you something over in Genesis chapter 3. Look at Genesis 3 with me. In verse 6. Oh, you're talking about clothed, being clothed. Look what happened here now. He's talking about Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now what happened when this happened? When they ate. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. You reckon they couldn't see anything before this day? Oh my. I tell you what their eyes was open to. What a mess they was in. They knew, and listen to this, and they knew that they were naked. God made them that way. And here they were, and then all of a sudden they knew they were naked. Their eyes was open. And that's what God does. He opens our eyes to see how naked we are in His sight. Everything is open and naked before Him with whom we have to do. And they made themselves fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. And they heard the voice. What voice? The voice of the Son of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, they heard His voice as He come. As He come. And they heard Him talking. They heard Him calling. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Oh my. What a change. What a change. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto Adam, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself." Hid myself. But you know that what God did, God took an animal and He killed it. And He shed the blood and He clothed Adam and Eve. And He clothed them. They had to admit that they was naked, and then He clothed them. And when the prodigal son got home, he said, "Father, I'll be as one of your hard servants." He said, "Oh no, 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 no." He said, "My son which was lost is found. My son which is dead is alive. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." And put it on him. And with his spotless garments on, I'm as holy as God's own son. Here's another thing I want you to see. How we're one with Christ. In verse 13 again it said, "He girded them." He girded them. He girded them. You know, when you talk about girding, that means he got a belt and tied it up around him. And when the scriptures talks about us girding up the loins of our mind, be girded about with the truth. Have your truth wrapped around you. And you keep Leviticus and look over in John 13 and verse 4 with me. John 13:4. You know, to be girded, girt me about. But he said here, look in verse 4. Our Lord Jesus, knowing all things was given into his hand, all things going to happen, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded him. Self. Wrapped a towel around himself. And he began to pour water. And he began to wash his disciples' feet. And that's what our Lord Jesus, he girded himself. Girded himself with a towel. And I tell you, we need to be gird up the loins of our mind. How do you gird it up? With the gospel, with truth. With gospel, with truth. Oh, John Bunyan talked about one time, you know, when he was... And Ben Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, he said somebody got behind him, started talking to him. He said, I didn't know who it was. And then he come to find out it was the devil sitting on his shoulder. Telling him, "You need to do this, you need to do that, you ought to do this, you ought to do another thing." And he said, "And I found out that that was another voice." And so we gird up our minds so we won't hear that other voice. Won't hear that other voice. And let me show you this verse 24. I'll hurry. Verse 24. And he brought Aaron's sons and Moses. He brought Aaron's sons and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, upon the thumbs of their right hands, upon the great toes of their right foot. Feet, and Moses sprinkled the blood on the altar. Now, you're talking about blood. And this blood is applied in places where we really, really need it. Put blood first upon on the right ear. Now we can hear. Where that blood's been applied, you can hear. That ear has been separated to the God. That ear has been separated to hear the gospel. The blood's been applied to the ear. And when we hear the gospel, we know it's our Master's voice. We know His voice. And then He put it on their thumb. You ever seen anybody that didn't have a thumb and how they can't use their hand? Well, like he put it on her thumb. Now we got a hand that we can worship God with, a hand that we can labor for one another for, a hand that we can dedicate to the cause of Christ. We used to do wickedness with them both hands earnestly. Now they're separated unto him. And then he put it on the big toe, the great toe of the right foot. And so the head, the hand, and the feet all now walk by the grace of God with the blood applied. And I tell you, we once walked out of the way, now we walk in the way of righteousness. And these blood-tipped members, ear, thumb, and toe, are as much of God's as that was that he put on that altar. That blood that he put on that altar was the same blood that he put on their head. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ bought us with his own precious blood. And then let me quickly hurry and tell you this. Look down verse 26 and 27. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake of oil bread, one wafer, and put them on the fat upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands and waved them before the Lord, waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. Now here's what he did. He took one unleavened bread. He took a bread that had made with oil. Then he took a wafer, that manna, and he took the shoulder off that ram that had been offered, and he handed them to those men, and they had that bread on it, they had that oil on it, they had that wafer on it, and this is what they done. They lifted that up. I don't know which one had the bread, don't know which one had the... But it was a wave offering. And we say, let us lift up holy faith. And they took that thing and said, Lord, here's how I approach you with a sacrifice. This is the bread that I eat. Is this holy bread, this unleavened bread, this glorious bread, this show bread, this oil that's full of fat. And then you've done it with fatness, with all the fat. And I'll tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ, that unleavened bread was his sinless offering. His sinless humanity. That's what we present before God. That old bread, that's rich, that's tasty. Oh, we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. We've tasted that God is good. And then that manna, that's our Lord's bread. And that was a glorious, rich, blessed offering that they offered before the Lord. And we come before God with an offering. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I tell you what, he had the fat on it. And that fat's what made it good. The shoulder had been his strength. Moses meant his strength. And he put all in God, as they put them in his son's hands and in his hands, God put all in his son's hands. Everything is in his son's hands. And thank God, he gave us all we need. All we need. And they waved them before God, before the Lord. And you know what a wave offering is? It's an offering of thanksgiving. An offering with joy in it. And we come before God with an offering, with thanksgiving and joy. With our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, in the precious name, blessed name of your Son, thank you for allowing us this another privilege, that's what it is, a privilege, a blessing, to gather out here with the people of God. And Lord, if you'd be pleased to use what's been said tonight, it's in your hands and the Holy Spirit's hands. You do with it what seemeth good in your sight. God bless our dear brethren. God bless those that are listening. Encourage them, strengthen them. Keep them, Lord Jesus, for another day. Keep them tomorrow. Keep us till we can worship together again. Bless you, dear saints. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure. He is all I need. See you Wednesday, God willing.